Welcome to the Book Smarts Business Podcast, conversations with business expert authors to learn about the author, their expertise, and to help you find your next read. And now, here's your host, best-selling author and CEO of Influence Network Media, Jody Brandsetter.
John, welcome to the Book Smarts Business Podcast. So excited to talk to you about your book, The Optimizer. But before we really dive into the book, I want to get to know you better. So tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Jody, great to see you. Pleasure to be on the show. Yeah, I always wanted to work on Wall Street. That was a dream of mine growing up as a kid. And through a lot of networking and just sort of putting myself out there, a couple of doors opened up and the opportunity presented itself, which honestly, I never thought would happen. I grew up in the Midwest, moved out to New York, began a career and realized very quickly, you know, gosh, this is a competitive environment. I need to continue to raise my game to figure this out. And I kept focusing on how do I get sort of more efficient at doing things. And after a while, I realized, well, efficiency isn't the only thing in life, Jody. Turns out you have to actually be impactful if you do lots of stuff. Even if you get a lot of things done, it still has to have some kind of impact and drive results. And so I started to think about the balance between those two things. How can I be efficient and effective and really marry those two things together? And I applied that to my career in so many different ways, shapes, and forms. Fast forward 23 years, I went from, you know, sending out faxes and answering phones and supporting a sales team to running a $4 billion sales division and for this Wall Street firm. And it was a lot of fun and took a lot of the lessons that I learned through that and through business school and applied that and turned it into a book a few years ago, which was just an extraordinary experience. It all started out as a leadership paper that turned into a book, and it's just been an incredible journey. And of course, the book now called The Optimizer, it's been out a little while, and it's been a great tool to really be the backbone of the coaching that I do for executives and business development and even book authors.
Walk us through a little bit about the coaching that you do. Like, what are some of the things that you help your clients with?
Sure. One of the biggest things I help folks do is one of my favorite clients gave me feedback on. She said, you enable us to be the best version of ourselves. And I mean, honestly, I was so touched. Leslie Corbin said that to me a while ago, and I was so touched by that thought. And I realized what I've done over time is I really look for ways to challenge people to raise their game. But as another client said to me, I do it in a non-threatening way. Right. I don't say do this because, you know, you're not getting it right or something like this. How do you figure out a way to really reach into that person's brain, figure out what they love, what drives them, and then tie that back to a business building opportunity set? And if you can make that happen, that's where the beauty really exists. So one team I was working with a little while ago, a healthcare company, they had a team member. So I interviewed all the team members on the sales team. I was working with the head of business development there, and I wasn't finding a lot of leverage across the team. Each person was working kind of in their own little universe. And so I interviewed all the people and said, asked them lots of things about the business. What's working? What could improve? What could be improved upon around here? And my favorite question is, what would you be doing if you had all the money in the world? And one woman said, I love event planning. I just love to host events and pick the restaurant and, you know, do all the details of the menu and all these things. And what I learned was everyone else in the team, as salespeople, they had to host lots of events, but really struggled with that. And it just ate up an enormous amount of their mind share. So this is one of the things, as the subtitle of my book suggests, building and leading a team of serial innovators, figuring out what people are excited about, get them to be that resource for the team, and then share that, build a template, which helps them get better at doing what it is they do, because they have to write the template, you have to think about it and articulate it more clearly, and then share that with the team and become a resource. And if each person can become a resource for whatever it is that they're passionate about and aligns with the business, that's when real magic can happen, and it creates enormous leverage for a team. So that would be one example of how I think about these things.
I love that. I love the whole thought about what are you passionate about? How can we blend that into your work? You know, one of my favorite books is The Big Leap, where they talk about your zone of genius and how you should try to be in it as much as you can. And it sounds like her zone of genius was event planning. And if you can actually take that zone of genius and allow her to use it on site in her role, that's just going to make all of her world, all of her, you know, opportunities there excel. So I'm sure, have you seen any kind of kind of return on investment, where she's been able to do a better job with the other pieces of her role now that she's getting to use some of her passion?
Yes, because when people get into this, when they go through the exercise of explaining what it is they do to others, so you have to make it sort of this tacit knowledge, if you will, that's when the genius really occurs. Because to go to present, so what you actually have them do is present this model to their team members. And they're not going to get in front of their team members and say, well, I call a restaurant and then I make a menu and everything's great, right? That's not the presentation. They think about all the steps that they go through, and it ends up helping them actually get better at doing what it is they do and lifting the team around them. Now take a 10-person sales team, and each person is doing that for some aspect of the job, and it just helps everybody move forward. And that, I mean, talk about efficiency and effectiveness. That is just one of my favorite examples of it. I've got 100 of these stories, but that's a real recent one with a healthcare team I worked with.
No, that's a great example. So when you were growing up, you were like, I want to be on Wall Street. Did you have the same yearning to be an author? Or tell us a little bit about how you decided to take that leadership paper and actually create a book out of it.
Yeah, so in 2019, my firm, actually, I was working for a big firm. We were sold. And the deal to leave was better than the deal to stay. So I left. And then I thought, all right, what am I going to do next? And I just started talking to an enormous number of people. I reached out to dozens and dozens and dozens of people. And I said, gosh, how should you think about this transition? I've worked for the same company 23 years. And two, I got lots of amazing ideas. Two really stood out to me. One person said, write a paper. And another person said, go immerse yourself in something you're passionate about, and your value proposition will manifest itself. And I remember when she said that, Jody, I was like, what are you, Yoda? I didn't even get it. So concurrently, I was doing these two things, writing this paper, shared it with folks, turned into a series. At the end of the year 2019, I took it to a professor and said, gosh, what should I do here? What do you think of this paper? I want to get it published. And he said, I think you have the makings of a book here. And I said, how the heck do you write a book? I know this author coach sent me over to this person, Eric Custer is his name, and I jumped into his program and wrote the book over the course of 2020. It took about a year through all these coaching and workshops. Concurrently, I'm going to immersing myself in these events. It was pre-COVID. I'm going to all these events. I'm at this event, 200 something people there. It's a pitch event, a VC startup kind of thing. And this guy pitches his AI company. And I thought, I just loved the story. I went up to him at the break and I said, I just did to him what I always have done as a coach, as a leader, really as a leader on Wall Street. And that is be curious and ask lots of questions and really figure out what it is they're doing. So I ask what, why, how? And after like 10 minutes, he looks at me and he said, can we hire you to do that? And I said, hire me to do what? And he goes, be our coach. And I was like, oh, I was just asking you questions. And they became my first client, actually. It was kind of funny. And it just kind of blossomed from there. So that's how it kind of came together. These sort of two concurrent tracks of asking people for advice, being a little vulnerable and humble in doing so and saying, hey, I don't have this all figured out. Key lesson really from my book, quite frankly. And then taking action and doing something with it.
I just posted a question on LinkedIn about what's a key attribute that an entrepreneur has. And my answer is curiosity, because I think that's the starter to everything. If you're not willing to learn or willing to ask a question, or it's, you know, you're never going to know. And then I would say, okay, resilience is big, drive is big, but curiosity, I preach that nonstop, John, on how important it is to be curious. Or if you're not curious about your client, you're not going to ask the right questions. If you're not curious about how to run a business, you're never going to learn how to run a business. So I love that curiosity is what made it happen for you and got you to this point. Well, let's talk about the book. So tell us a little bit about The Optimizer and kind of what, you know, a reader would get out of it.
Sure. I'll first say that, you know, as a leader, you're inextricably tied to change. You have to drive change unless there's no way in 10, whatever, it, if you're a leader in 10 years from now, if you're doing the exact same thing you're doing, you're likely out of business, you're having pretty mediocre results. So you have to make this happen. Turns out, Jody, fear, a change is one thing that people kind of don't like the most, right? Yesterday was fine. Now I have to try something new. I might look stupid doing it. Shame, fear, all of these emotional charges come along with it. And so what I have found in my time, certainly working on Wall Street in my career, was if I can work, I need to drive change, but if I can drive it incrementally and get people empowered to do it in a way that's meaningful to them, back to this example of the event planner earlier, that can really create some magic and a really powerful set of results. because if I'm making incremental changes, there's never this big leap that says, oh, if I do that, I'm going to look like an idiot and have to tell my boss or my spouse or my partner, whatever, that I failed. And that's what people hate. So it creates almost in and of itself creates a safe space. There's more to building a safe space, but that little methodology creates a safe space to let people experiment and let them know it might take 3, 6, 12 months to figure this out, but let's keep playing with it. I'll be your accountability partner, your coach, your leader, and let's figure this out. And then as we learn it, we'll share it with others. And that's really the crux of the book, how to enable that, how to empower that, and how to sustain that mindset within a company or a team.
I hear a lot about coaching and how important and how impactful it can be for like a business owner, an entrepreneur, or just a person in general, right? Having that accountability partner. What are some things that, you know, if I wanted to, you know, say, John, I want you to coach me, be my accountability partner. What are some things that you want to see from me that, to make sure that I am going to make those incremental steps and get to that final push or realize, nope, this isn't right. We're going to shift to another area.
You know, first thing I like to do with folks is ask them right up front, how do you think you could derail this relationship before we even get into an engagement? And it's interesting, a lot of people don't think about that. And so just laying that on the table at the very start of the relationship is really powerful. And then what you start to unearth is they're saboteurs. We all have these saboteurs hiding out there. And it gives them a chance to think about that. And I take them through a number of exercises on how to identify those. And once you just simply label your saboteurs and know that they're out there, you can start to see when they pop up that little voice that says, you can't do this. You're not good enough. You know, you'll be happy when you make this happen. All those little voices we hear in our head that say we're never enough. I try to get that on the table very early on. And that way, when those hiccups do occur, we can talk about the fact that, like, are you really unable to do this? Or is this one of these limiting beliefs or saboteurs you have? And then that really can help change the discussion to, oh yeah, I was just questioning myself there because my mom always challenged me about this or that. And it stayed with me all these years. Oftentimes it goes back to childhood. And it's really good just to get those things out there early on and label them, be aware of them, and then take their power away. And that's really a big part of that. So I really try to establish that early on. I spent a lot of time establishing that early on to make sure we can have those conversations later on when times get tricky.
I see that a lot with new authors having those saboteurs in their lives saying, you can't write a book, you're not good enough, you don't have the expertise. And so I can really respect that whole process of asking that up front and recognizing those key areas so that you as the coach or me as like a publisher can really have like hone in and know when these things might happen so that we can help either redirect them or get them through some of those negative moments so they can push through and get that book out or to be able to do whatever, you know, they're wanting to do, you know, professionally or personally.
It's so, so important. There was a gal I worked with. I haven't asked her permission, so I won't share her name, but she's a gal I did a lot of coaching with a few months ago. And I will never forget this conversation with her. She wrote a beautiful book. And we're on the Zoom doing a coaching call. And she said something like, no one's ever going to read this. Is this even worthwhile putting out there? I should just quit now. This kind of conversation, all these limiting beliefs. And I shared with her my own limiting beliefs and self-doubt as I went through my author journey. And I don't think she'd ever had anyone be so vulnerable and open with her. And it blew her mind. I mean, she'd always had this kind of like wall up between us when we talked. There was always this kind of layer of defensiveness. And once I shared that vulnerability, it really opened her up to really starting to do the same and realizing, wait, maybe there's something that's holding me back here that doesn't need to be. Well, fast forward, she pushed through, she finished that book. And she's now won, I think, 3 or 4 awards for a book that 12 months ago, she was like, no one's ever going to read this, you know? And I think the key takeaway for that story for me is, as part of coaching as well, is vulnerability breeds vulnerability. And that was such a key part to that story with her. And we're still good friends to this day.
Oh, that's wonderful. So I'm sure a lot of people might want to connect with you, John, and to see if you can be vulnerable with them. So what is the best way that they can connect with you, as well as the best way for them to get the Optimizer?
Sure. Easy to find on LinkedIn and Instagram, JCS Optimizer, or JCS-Optimizer is the handle out there. Or certainly visit my website, John with an H, C, Saunders, SAUNDERS.com. You can find the book on there about my coaching services, and certainly definitely connect with me on LinkedIn and feel free to send me a note. There's also a place on the website you can schedule a 15-minute discovery call with me just to see what I'm about and see if there's a good fit for us to maybe work together.
That's wonderful. John, thank you so much for being a part of the Book Smarts Business Podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Book Smarts Business Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the show and share this episode with a friend. In the meantime, join our business author community where you can connect with other business authors and learn about becoming an author at authors.influencenetworkmedia.com. Until next time.